I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Marissa.
How's everything going?
It's going well. It's, well, I don't even know when this one's going to air because we're recording ahead of time.
The 28th.
Because of vacation. The 28th. So, but at least today, which is a couple weeks before that, it is brilliant sunshine, brisk, but what a beautiful day. And what I love is in the morning, the sun is up.
Oh.
When I'm driving to work, it's getting bright. Just starting, but it's getting bright.
I know. It is nice. I even noticed that today people were generally just in a better mood. Like, I went to the post office, which has a bad reputation for always being unfriendly.
Yes.
And everyone I encountered was super friendly at the post office today. Like, a lot of smiles and just, I think everyone's happy to see that really bright sunshine.
Sunshine does wonders for us.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So we're wrapping up 5 levels of leadership today.
Yeah, I can't believe it. This is the last episode in our 5-part series.
Yes.
So we're
the pinnacle.
The pinnacle. We made it.
We have. And you know, it's been really good for me to revisit this book that we've been talking about. You know, I read it a couple years ago, and going through it again, it just refreshed my memory as to be perfectly honest, how bad I was at times at being a leader. You kind of think, wow, I wasn't so bad. And then you realize, oh, yeah, I really was. So the way my post was written for this week that came out this morning was I used Coach John Wooden as an example, because John Maxwell at the back of the book really highlights Coach Wooden as an example of a level 5 leader. And I think I might have gone through that last part of the book maybe 4 times just because I was just so impressed with what John was saying about Coach Wooden. And just a couple details that I put in my post that went out. In John Wooden's 27 seasons at UCLA, they won 620 games.
Wow.
But that wasn't even the crazy part. They won 10 NCAA titles in his last 12 seasons. So the last 12 seasons that John Wooden was at UCLA, they won 10 championships.
Wow.
And at one point, they won 87 games in a row without losing.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, that is. I mean, that's staggering to mm-hmm. think about a leader that could get a team to that level. But the story that I talked about in my post that I loved the most was every season, John Wooden would begin his practice like this. He'd bring all of his players into the locker room, and he would say, "Gentlemen, this is how you put your socks on." And he realized that if these young guys would just throw their socks on, then throw their sneakers on, they would get blisters. And so it was all about how you start at the toe and you make sure that everything is smoothed out and so that there aren't any wrinkles or rolls, that your socks are tight mm-hmm. so that you can lace your shoes up properly so you won't get blisters. And he started every single year like that. And then in the book, John, and I had read this before, not even in this book, but in other books, and actually I believe I even heard John Maxwell talk about his relationship with Coach Wooden, because he was mentored by Coach Wooden for 7 years. But one of the things that John said was he asked Coach Wooden once, you know, "What do you miss most about basketball since you retired from UCLA?" And his answer was the practices. He didn't miss the games. He didn't miss the championships.
Mm-hmm.
He missed the practices. Because he realized that the only way you win championships is to make sure that every single day you're getting better.
Yep.
And then the key, again, and all of these things relate to level 5 leadership. Then the other key was that John Wooden was most pleased not by his championships, but by his players' accomplishments off the court as they matured as young men. You know, and they went into education, into politics, into religion. These were amazing young men that he had mentored. And so kind of that kind of walks us through what is a level 5 leader. A level 5 leader is a leader that understands you got to keep doing levels 1 through 4 on top of 5. And your goal is always to be developing leaders, not followers.
Do you have a list of questions to identify if this is the level you're at?
I do.
I knew
right
it.
Next to me, Here we go. Level 5 leaders, you have to be able to answer 8 or more of these correctly to see if you're there. I can name several specific people whom I have encouraged to speak hard truths to me, and they do so regularly. Wow, that one's pretty strong. I am using my influence to instill values in my organization. The course of my organization is set by me or by a team of which I am a part. I have developed many leaders who are developers of leaders. And that's a key point because, you know, the best leaders don't develop followers, they develop other leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the interaction and friendship of a small circle of leaders with whom I am taking the leadership journey. I am still at the top of my game, and the positive impact I am making is strong. I can name at least one person who would be ready to step in and take my place should I decide to leave my current position. I have influence outside of my organization. People from outside of my specific industry seek me out for leadership advice. The last one, I am using my influence and resources for causes greater than myself or my organization. And that's how I kind of had the came up with the title for my post, which was From Success to Significance. Because that key shift when we move from a level 4 leader to a level 5 leader being in the pinnacle is that we are moving out of success. We were a success before we got to level 5. Now we are making a significant impact in the lives of other people in our community, in the circles that people seem to find us in. And so I just, to me, that was huge, being able to understand that transition. Now, John Maxwell also says only about 1% of leaders ever make it to the pinnacle.
Wow.
Which I thought was kind of sobering, you know, but mm-hmm. The reality is if you think about that list of 8 points, yeah, I can see why only 1% get there, because that was a tremendous list.
Did he share any examples in his book of people that he thinks fall into that 1%?
You know, the one that he went on, that he dwelled on the most was just John Wooden.
Okay.
He would touch on people here and there. He would touch on different leaders. You know, he touched on Jack Welch a little bit and mm-hmm. said, you know, from GE. He talked about different organizations, but the one that he went most in depth on would have been Coach Wooden.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about, so this was something else that was interesting when you talk about the influence of a level 5 leader. John says that in his, and I've heard him talk about this a couple times, in his meetings with Coach Wooden, they would meet, I think it was monthly, for a mentoring type of meeting. And they would go to a restaurant for breakfast or lunch. And on the way back, Coach Wooden would almost always have to say, could we please stop at the post office? He would be mailing something to someone. And typically, it was somebody had sent him a piece of memorabilia and wanted his autograph.
Hmm.
And he never denied anybody the chance for an autograph. And at the memorial service for him, the pastor of his church, there was a private funeral ceremony for Coach Wooden, but there was a general memorial service. And it might have even been, you know, at, I forgot where UCLA plays, it might be the Pauley Pavilion. But the pastor asked, you know, how many of you ever had something signed by Coach Wooden? And like almost every hand in the room went up type of thing.
Wow.
You know, he just went out of his way to touch people's lives and to be an influence
mm-hmm.
in people's lives. And frequently his players that had long left would call him up at his house just to check in on him. So that proves the connection that he made with them.
Right.
But he really was the only specific leader that John Maxwell went in depth on. And, you know, it could be because those leaders are very, very rare
mm-hmm.
to be at that point. You know, it certainly is something that every leader should aspire to, but it's not easy getting there.
So, I mean, kind of leading the way in here, but what can someone do, you know, what can a leader do to encourage this leadership culture or to work towards the pinnacle for themselves?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing, I'm going to give you just a list of things that I pull out of the book that would be keys to growing from through level 4 and up to level 5. Be willing to keep growing yourself. Leaders, even pinnacle leaders, have not arrived because you're always striving to get better. And if you're always showing that you're trying to get better, your team's going to want to get better. So you, again, the law of modeling, you know, or the law of the picture, people do what people see. Am I modeling the behaviors that I'm looking for?
Mm-hmm.
You need to decide that people are worth the effort. As we, in level four, we're investing in people, we're developing people. In level five, we're even taking that to the next step where we are really investing of ourselves in them, not just setting up training that other people are doing. I'm mindful of, and I know I've mentioned him in my podcast before, other than my dad, the greatest mentor I ever had was Donald Dew from Dye Molding.
Mm-hmm.
Donald F. Dew. And he just, he poured himself into my life from the time, you know, I was named president of the company, or the year before I was named president, when I was named VP of Ops, till he passed away. He just, every chance he could, he wanted to add value to my life and invest in who I was as a person and how I was learning to develop as a leader. Work through your insecurities. Insecure leaders, quite frankly, are useless. You know, and one of the, and some of the issues that insecure leaders have is they will not allow themselves to be vulnerable.
Right.
They won't admit to people that they have needs or concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So the best leaders are the ones that say, "Hey, I need your help."
Mm-hmm.
Recruit the best people. You know, don't just hire anybody. Hire the best.
Right.
Create a personal development process. And this was, I thought was interesting. There's five steps to a personal development process. It must occur daily. It must be measurable. It must include things that people value. The process must align with their strengths. And this is something where I'm developing other people, not just myself. The process must align with their strengths, and the process must fit into their dream plan. So if I'm thinking about the team that I have, if I have a team around me, do I understand them well enough to know what their dream is, what their strengths are, what they value? And if I do, as a level four leader working my way to level five, I want to make sure that I help them understand how to make that a daily measurable occurrence.
I like that last one, that it must fit into their dream plan.
Right.
So I want to go back to that.
Sure.
So I know you've talked about this before, that, you know, what if their dream plan isn't something that is within the bounds of your organization?
We still have to help them achieve it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what differentiates someone at this level of leadership from some of the
right.
others, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, well, I can picture a leader saying, "That's crazy, David. You're telling me to invest in a person that's going to leave. No, I'm telling you to invest in people." And just because that person isn't at your organization doesn't mean they're not adding value to your organization. So let's say I've got an engineer that's working for me, and that engineer has a dream to start their own company. Well, I'm going to try to give them all the tools that I possibly can to grow and develop. Maybe they will leave, but maybe they won't. Maybe they're all of a sudden going to realize, you know what, I want to stay and run this company where I was developed.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say they do leave. Let's say they leave and they start another company. Well, what? How do I know I might not be a supplier to that company?
Right.
You know, there's just, we never ever know where things might come back to us, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there's actually a verse in the Bible that says, you know, cast your bread upon the waters because it's going to return back. And I've heard enough stories of situations where managers have done things like that, which, and I shouldn't say managers, I should say leaders, where leaders have actually done that, where they've enabled people to leave, and those people in one way or another came back to bless them manyfold.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you got to feed people's dreams, because, you know, other people in the organization will see that.
Right.
And they're going to try to do the best they can. And you really become, and that's the difference, I guess, Marissa, when successful is helping them do really well for me, significance is when I help them do really well for themselves and the community.
And I think that ties back to the second thing you mentioned, with deciding that people are worth the effort.
Right.
So it really comes back to the people and not so much like making money or having more customers or increasing your size.
Exactly. And again, you know, people say, well, now you're just being idealistic. No, I believe that that is real capitalism, because if you do that, it is going to affect your bottom line in a positive way anyways.
Right.
The whole community will get better.
Mm-hmm.
Another point on this was never work alone. And when I think about that statement that John made, so level four, we're developing people. We're making sure they're getting training. Level five is we are taking a personal, we're establishing a personal connection with these people, and we actually let them come and fly with us for a while once, you know, and things. They're helping us. They're learning what we're doing. They're learning how we're doing it. And then they're adding their uniqueness to our tasks that we would have lost had they not been part of our group, so to speak, as we worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
Take responsibility for energizing others. You know, that was really one that Jack Welch talks about a lot, is that a leader's job is to inspire and energize people. And we got to get them going. If we get them going, then they're going to start pulling the train for us, and we don't have to supply all the energy after a while. It's that law of momentum. It's just this energy just begins to envelop our team, and people want to be part of a team that's going places and doing things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's an interesting one, because you want to make sure that you're doing that in a genuine way.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
And not in a way that maybe diminishes efforts that are going on or negatively impacts the team, and because it
right.
feels fake or forced.
Yeah.
It really needs to be genuine.
Correct. And you can tell,
mm-hmm.
you know, our teams can tell when, you know, I had a scenario a few times it happened to me in my career where my team was really having fun.
Yeah.
And I remember in one case, I asked this one department that they were performing unbelievably well. I mean, they were blowing all of our standards out of the water. And mm-hmm. I called them into my office. I was giving them little gift cards to go buy things at like Bass Pro Shop and that kind of stuff. And I just said, let me ask you a question. What's different? And I remember the one guy saying, Dave, we're just having fun.
Wow.
They were energized, having fun, and it was my job to get out of the way and supply the pizza and wings on a monthly basis, so to mm-hmm. speak, to keep them energized.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved that one. You could tell it was just so genuine. We're having fun. And some of them were working unbelievable hours in terms right. of, you know, it was an hourly position, but they didn't care. They just, oh, we're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Making money, having fun.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple points, you know, I'm cognizant of our clock here, that John referred to as the best behaviors of a level five leader. And some of these really struck me as I read them. A leader's desire, being succeeded instead of needed.
Mm.
That's a great statement. You know, there's a lot of leaders that want to be needed. But the best leaders, the level five leaders, want to be succeeded. They want that person to just slip right in, so that the organization doesn't struggle. A leader's focus, working on people's strengths, not their weaknesses. And, you know, and this is something that I a lot of times have difficulty with senior leaders when I'm telling them, don't try to fix your employees' weaknesses. Develop their strengths. We compensate for where they're not strong by systems or other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the example that you've heard me use is, and since I've talked about Coach Wooden, not even John Wooden could make me a center on a basketball team, because you can't coach height.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 6 foot tall. That's it. You know, and a lot of folks, they simply may not have all of the skills that we think are necessary, yet they have other skills that really need to be developed so that they can thrive and the organization can thrive. A leader's attitude, giving away power instead of hoarding it. You know, I think if leaders can look for multiple right answers, if they can look to, you know, truly empower. Now, I know, you know, Patrick Lencioni says he hates the word empowerment, but to truly give power away to people as opposed to hoarding it for yourself. Here was another one, a leader's perspective, seeing potential leaders as they could be instead of as they are. And that one really struck me too. You know, as I look at people, am I looking at what they can be or what they are right now? Which would bear to ask the question, so if not, am I really looking at them? Do I care enough to say, hey, I think you could be this? What do you think? Is that where you would like to go?
Mm-hmm.
And there was one more on the back of this page that I had written down. A leader's impact, knowing it takes level five leaders to develop level four leaders. So again, that's that point of understanding you really have to be at a higher level to be able to develop people, which right. gets back to the law of the lid. I can't, if my, on a leadership scale, I'm on a 1 to 10, I'm at a 4, my team can't ever get above me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to keep growing all the time. And perhaps that's the key. If somebody said to me, what do you think is the key to being a level 5 leader? It's growth. You never stop.
Right. And so you're growing yourself and you're continuing to grow your team as well. Like you said,
right.
you have to continue to take on the responsibilities of all the levels before.
Right.
And so we know level 4 is people development, but now this takes it to the next level where you're developing leaders.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking, I did a lot of introspection and retrospect. Like, is it retrospection a word? I don't know.
Right.
I looked in retrospect at my probably 30 years as a supervisor / manager. And there were times when I think I might have been operating, let's say, at a level 3, maybe a level 4, and then I slipped back down. And, you know, John makes it clear in the book that there's times when even level 5 leaders have to go back down and rebuild some things,
mm-hmm.
have to go back and focus on things that you missed. It's, again, so even with that pinnacle thing, you've never really arrived. You got to work really hard to stay there, so to speak, and valuing people and looking at. So part of growth is self-awareness. And so am I where I need to be? And then it can be social awareness. Are the people around me where they need to be? And so how do I help them grow to achieve the best that they can be? And when I have, all of a sudden I have embraced significance.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my mentors, I remember when I first got started on the John Maxwell team, one of my mentors, Scott Fay, said, once you've tasted significance, success will never do.
Yep.
Because it's an amazing feeling when you realize you've made a difference in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm sure.
That's level 5.
Great. And so again, we'll remind everyone who is looking for more on this topic to purchase John's book.
Absolutely. You've got to read the book.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more than what we can cover in 5 episodes.
Right. Right. And I will say this, it's an inspiring book to read.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, when John writes, he doesn't write like a textbook. He writes in stories and he really connects with the reader. And I'll tell you, like I said, the last few chapters, or I forgot how it was broken up, where he talks about Coach Wooden and how people thought of him and how they interacted with him. I actually had to go through that a few times because it just was that powerful.
Wow.
So, we made it.
We made it.
So you want to know what we're talking about next?
Of course.
Blind spots.
Mm.
So we'll tease people with that
one. All right. I'm guessing it does not necessarily have to do with cars.
Cars are part of it. So, so we want to thank our listeners. I want to encourage people to subscribe to the podcast. If you hear us talking about the email and you don't know how to get the email, or you're not getting the weekly email or / blog post, just in the show notes, there's our contact information. We'd be happy to get you signed up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Please, if possible, leave us a review. And we know that at least in iTunes, you have to set up an account and a unique username or whatever to do that. But we would appreciate it. If there's things you'd like us to talk about, send us an email.
Yep.
Anything special going on this weekend?
Nope, not really. Just getting ready for our trip.
Good.
Yeah. Which by the time this airs, we will be on our vacation. So.
And I will be back from mine.
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about being back from my vacation.
No.
I want to take it first. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.